Hi, design enthusiasts, it's Laura here. Just wanted to start off this episode and let you know that we've created a freebie for you. Yes, we have, and it is in the show notes. Our number one episode downloaded since it came out is the Welcome Guide. And with that constantly being number one and trying to be appreciative of everyone and their kind words and how lovely they have been and how welcoming and how encouraging they've been, we created a template here at Thornton Design with our welcome guide, and now we have made it that you can use that too. So there are two parts to the download. One is a template, and the other one is a PDF that just shows you all the places I need you to implement your brand colors, your photos, your verbiage, and that way you can get started sending out this welcome guide to your future clients as soon as possible. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope that you find this helpful in your business. And if you have any feedback, we love to get that feedback. So please go ahead and send that to us. Otherwise, let's get started with this episode of The Business of Beautiful Spaces. Welcome to the Business of Beautiful Spaces. I'm your host, Laura Thornton, Principal of Thornton Design. I'm beyond thrilled to bring you this podcast where I am going to share over 25 years of experience in the interior design industry. As an experienced interior designer, I understand the challenges of running a successful business while also creating beautiful and functional spaces for our clients. Throughout my career, I've worked closely with trades and other professionals to bring my clients' vision to life. And along the way, I've learned a thing or two about balancing that creativity and practicality while running a business. In this podcast, I aim to share my knowledge, my insight with you, other designers, covering all the aspects of the interior design industry, from the creative process to the business side of things, from selecting the right materials to managing budgets and timelines. I am going to share all the tips and tricks that I have learned over the years to help you run a successful interior design business. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting out in this industry, this podcast will be for you. I'm looking forward to sharing my experience with you, answering your questions, and helping you navigate the exciting world of interior design. So let's get started on the business of beautiful spaces and explore the art of creating beautiful and functional spaces while running a successful business. Welcome back to another episode of The Business of Beautiful Spaces. Hi, it's Laura Thornton here. And today on this episode 56, I want to talk about the power of pre-planning social media posts and how we are attracting clients through social media. By doing this podcast over the last year, I've spoken to many professionals who do this for a living, and we've discussed all the advantages and disadvantages. And, you know, this is something that as a business owner myself, I have utilized over the last few years of having pre-planned my social media posts. And so why I wanted to do an episode on this was because I really feel like as I look through my feed, I am really struggling some days because I look at what I'm watching and I'm like, why is this? Why did I follow this? And then I look up to see what account it is, and then I'm baffled as to why I am seeing what I'm seeing. And so, you know, I know that there's an age gap with generations and decades in some ways for what I'm watching or who's posting and what's acceptable at a different age. Like, I have 20-year-old children, and they're not children. I recognize that. But I have one son who's almost 23, and I have another son who's going to be 20 this year. And, you know, what they consider acceptable to be watching as a business post and what I, as a entrepreneur and as somebody who would be willing to buy a luxury service such like what we do for our living, and I do not share the same feelings that they do about what we're seeing. Now, this is where I decided this needed to be a post, not because I think you need to hear what I think, but because I've had this discussion with multiple people. And in fact, I had a woman on the podcast this year, and off when we were, you know, pre-recording and after recording, her and I had a conversation about this. And after, I said, I really wish we had discussed this on air, because I don't even know if on air is the right word, as if I'm like Kelly Clarkson or somebody who has a TV show, Drew Barrymore. And I do not. I just feel like I don't know the proper verbiage, but let's just say recording. So, long story short, we had this conversation, and after, it's been resonating. And so when something sits in my brain for a while, I always feel like everybody else must be wanting to discuss this too. And I regretted not having part of that in the podcast recording because I thought it was fascinating. And so today, I think that we'll I'm going to go through the list of the things that her and I discussed, and don't think it as a way of me preaching to you what I want to see on your Instagram. It's not. It's just I want to make you aware of maybe you're younger than I am. Maybe you're older than I am. Maybe you don't see things the same way, but I think it's worth exploring as we are a luxury service. It doesn't matter who you are servicing. Somebody is coming to us to purchase our expertise and our education and our professionalism. And sometimes I think that those lines have been blurred on what we're seeing out in social media world. And so let's have this discussion and let's see. And I want to also go down the rabbit hole of pre-planning, because this is something that over COVID we embraced here. So for years now, there has been pre-planning on our social media. And we use Planoly, but there are plenty of others. There's Later, there's Hootsuite, a Canva, you can do it direct, Planable. There's lots of apps and software that you can use that allow you to pre-plan all in advance up to however many you want to purchase. I think we do pay, I think it's $11 a month to use Planoly, and we can upload endless, like you can do it for months in advance. No, we don't. We go up to 3 months. So we do it 4 times a year. We pre-plan, we look at the analytics and see what hit, and then we use that as a tool. So I'm going to go through that as well. But you pick which one works for you. I started off using Hootsuite and their free platform, and tried that for quite a while until they took the free element away. And then I had to invest in what I thought was going to be beneficial. Now, the free versions of it was a great way to get my feet wet, see if I liked it, but it only allowed for one platform, one social media platform. And so at that point, I had picked Instagram, and I think it automatically posted to Facebook from Instagram, something along that line. So really, I was gaining an extra posting situation just by default. But when I went to Planoly, it allows you to do whatever works for you and whatever platforms. I only chose the Instagram, Facebook, and I think Pinterest at one point, but we don't use Pinterest as a tool here currently. So you pick what works best for you, and then you can start using it as a tool to pre-plan and to post for you. You put the content in, you put the text. These, in this situation, Planoly also prompts what time is ideal to post, and then as you keep using it, it starts to learn how your followers operate and work, and then it'll give you more specific times and better data that you can use as tools to be able to hit the analytics and the algorithm that works for your clients that are following you, or your potential clients that are following you. So by having this planning and scheduling these posts in advance and using these social media planners, it really does offer several advantages, especially for us who are busy. Busy interior designers, we're looking to maintain consistent pipeline presence, and we all know that during COVID, we were so slammed that there wasn't time for this. But the reality is that we do need to be pre-planning and having this happen all the while what we're being busy, so that in the times that we're not as busy, now we're not stumbling to try and catch up and to gain those followers when we let that algorithm go. So the advantage of having these planning software apps do it for, obviously you have to do the work, but by having it play it out one day at a time or every other day or whatever you decide to do, allows you to constantly be in someone's feed and a reminder that you exist. So that consistency is a definite advantage. That way, if someone goes to look you up, they're like, "Ooh, they haven't posted since 2022. Are they still working?" Because unfortunately, we're in the world where apparently social media tells people what you're up to and how current you are. And so by having this consistency in posting allows it to be crucial that your audience is engaged. Now, I'm not an expert in this, but from what I have picked up along the last year and heard multiple times, is you have to be trying to post daily, if not every other day, to maintain your spot in the algorithm. So I get that this can change. By the time this podcast launches in a couple of weeks, that might not be accurate anymore. But today's date, it is. And so, use this as a tool to see what works for you. If you think every day is too much and that might be annoying for your clients, try every other day. Try Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, If you know your client and you know when they're going to be watching, if they are people who don't look at their Instagram until Saturday and Sunday sitting on the sofa, then use that as a tool. Post on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If you know your client is busy with their kids all weekend long at sports and they're not going to look at that, but they might look at it when they're having a coffee Monday through Friday, post Monday through Friday. Like whatever works for your ideal client is where you should be putting your effort. So I'm going to share that we did last year every single day. Every single day we posted. We wanted to see if it worked. We posted every single day. That's effort. That's work. That's a lot of content. That is a lot of things to come up with. And there are going to be tools that I'm going to discuss today that allow some help in doing that. And we did see some considerable growth. So I'm not going to lie. We did have more followers. Has it turned into business? That is hard to say. But we do have a lot of followers and we do get a lot of questions on our work and we do get people asking if they, you know, where did you get this and what color is that? So there's definitely more engagement. But this year, starting in January, we've tried every other day and we're trying to see how that pans out. Now, because we do use our analytics, which I'll also get into in a bit, I'm seeing that there was a drop off in the follow rate. So it would lead me to believe that the everyday was sustaining the algorithm for us. So we'll have to revisit that when we do our planning at the end of March, which would be our next quarter. And we'll see if it's worth going back to every day. So you have to do what works for you. But if you're not used to posting regularly, this might be a great tool to get you back in the algorithm in hopes that when you do have a lull in your business, you're not now trying to catch up and be current on Instagram and have to get into that algorithm. So that consistency will become something that is really important to maintaining that posting schedule and the time and efficiency. So now you get to save time by creating and batch scheduling all these posts, allowing you to focus back on your design projects. Maybe you give one day a month to this. Maybe one day it gives you the ability to just get it all done. And I know I plan mine on a Saturday morning. I sit down with a coffee because my house is quiet when my kids are away at university. But even when they were home and we were doing this in the summer, I had a Saturday morning, everyone's sleeping. I'm an early riser and I would sit down and write all the things that I wanted to teach my clients, potential clients, or educate people that are following or what the theme was going to be. And I would do that in one morning and then it would be easier for me to plan. And I'm going to give you a couple other little trips and trips. I'm going to give you a trip. No, I'm not. I'm going to give you a tip. But it really helped with efficiency. And using these scheduling tools during the less busy periods, like I said, it means that you're queued up for content for busier times and you're not trying to fumble to figure out what it is that you're going to post. So the timing. So again, I kind of touched on this, that as you start using one of these planning schedulers, they will give you the optimal times for your target audience. So you'll start to see that it falls into, like, I know my target client, 3 o'clock is consistent because, you know, 3 o'clock is the I need a coffee. and then they pick up their phone. The other thing is really early in the morning. So people are up early, whether they're having their coffee, whether they're at the office, whether they're on the way to the office, whether they're commuting, whether they're on their workout. That's when people are rolling through Instagram. And so I can now see the best times. I can see that 7 o'clock on a Sunday night is one of my hottest times. So you start to see and you start to be able to target. Like I said, Sunday at 7. Sunday at 7 is consistently a time on my schedule that is given to me by the planning app. And I know that on Sunday at 7, I need to have a post that has something to do about relaxing, comfort, getting ready for work on Monday. I can actually start to curate content for that person who is sitting on the sofa scrolling on a Sunday night going, oh, crap, I have to go to work on Monday. Hopefully they're not doing that, but you can start to see when you can take advantage of those suggested times. So brand cohesion, this allows you to stop just adding random things. You can actually plan your feed because it does show you. You can get that visual cohesion that, like, obviously as designers, we love. We love making sure that things look curated. And so this is the same thing. You can have that thematic consistency on your feed, especially with Instagram, where you can see that the first 12 pictures, as soon as somebody goes into your profile, those 12 pictures could be potentially the first introduction to your business. So you always want to be seeing what those first 12 look like. And I always aim to try and have, again, this is just me. This is not, like, I am not a marketing professional, but I just like the way things kind of bleed together. And so if something is starting off with some blues, I'll try and maintain that blue, and then it will creep into gray, and then I'll have more gray. And so you might get like 12 gray. So I do try and have some cohesion there so that it's not just like one pink pincher, one blue pincher. Like, it's not alarming. You actually have flow. Some people I do know will filter all their pictures so that all the filters make it feel cohesive. I don't do that, but I know that it can have a really beautiful look. If that's something that you want to do too, you can use that light, Lightroom. And you can add the same filter throughout, so you have that consistency and that brand cohesion on your top 12 on your profile. Engagement tracking, those analytics that we talked about, they'll post your performance, allow you to refine that strategy as well, and learning from your most popular post to understand your audience preferences, and then you can adjust all that content accordingly. So these apps give you so much information, it really allows you to be more strategic. And so you can sit down on your Saturday morning, if you will, and have a plan. You can plan and execute targeted campaigns or promotions well in advance. It allows you to create special promotions, maybe for a specific service. If you focus in the spring on outdoor furniture or outdoor cushions, you could actually pre-plan and have it all roll out. So, you know, on a Friday, a month before the long weekend, you can start having all of that say, you know, it's 4 weeks before the long weekend. And if you need your cushions, now's the time. Like, you can start having all that plan out, as opposed to, you know I get these great ideas. I'm driving along and I think, oh, that would be good. And then I have nothing to write it down on. I have to then tell my car, I say, hey, sorry, can you please make a note? I got to make sure that nothing now that I said those magic words, that nothing is lit up on my phone. So that also what these also allow you to do, meaning the platforms, is that you can choose and coordinate all the different platforms that you want to have the same content go across. So you could have one piece of content that you are now launching between Facebook, Instagram, Planoly, LinkedIn. Like, you can choose all the different platforms and this will post it throughout. So you're not having to now manage all of these different platforms with different content. It will allow you to cross coordinate all those platforms, so that if, you know, you could also, if you wanted, let me clarify, if you wanted to have different content on, say, LinkedIn, where it's much more of a professional vibe, you could also tailor that content. But if you don't and you want to save time and you're constantly having professional posts being put out in the world, then this allows you to cross coordinate all of those platforms. The one thing I really like through all of this is thought out, consistent branding message. It is not random thoughts that you are throwing out in the world. You are having time to coordinate and has time to have the same verbiage. And if you're in the zone, just like in our projects, if we're starting a project and we're in the zone and we're, you know, you've done the tiles, you know, you've done the fabrics and you're on that project, you know, every little nuance of that project. But then 3 months from now, you've walked away from that project and the client calls you back and now wants revision. I got to go back and get right back into that project again, because I'm not going to retain all the little nuances that went into that project. I've worked on 7 more since then. Same premise. Sit down, plan, have consistent branding messaging, use the chat GPTs of the world, use your own verbiage, whatever it is that you want to do. But when you're in that zone, don't you find that like it allows you to just be in that zone and you can get so much more done? I know that kind of crosses over into, you know, time management and time blocking, but it really is something that for me works really, really well. And if I allow myself that time, I can come up with campaigns or I can come up with really great educational tools for InDesign or product and things like that, that I would be willing to put out and teach anyone who's following me, so that you look like you know what you're doing, because you do, and you can educate any of your potential clients that you're the right choice for them by having that constant crafted brand voice, and that those values will resonate with that target audience. So some additional tips that might be helpful for content. Something that I have found has always been a game changer as far as engagement has been showcasing before and after. Now, I do that with stories. You can also do it with posts, because of course, how fabulous is that? The only thing I don't love about posts, and I don't know if it's just a me thing, maybe I'm not up on how to do it properly, but I do find that sometimes the way I upload the photos isn't always the way that it shows up. So the last thing I want is for someone to be on my feed and they're seeing the before picture, First, I want them to see, like, I want them to read it, but the before picture usually looks like it needs a makeover. And I don't want that to be part of like my grid. So I do that as a story just in case it, for whatever reason, it doesn't have the after, because it can really muck up the way my 12 pictures look. So I know that's a personal thing, but I do that as a story. Client testimonials is a great way to add fillers too into your feed if you don't have a lot of professional photos yet, or you're not sure how to fill a, how to fill some of this, you know, every day or every other day content. Put in client testimonials, just a sentence or two. Make it in Canva, put it into your feed. How fabulous is that? That like you'd have quotes and you don't have to even just say like client testimonial. You don't have to have a client's name. I think that would be amazing. You can also throw in a quote or two if you need some filler, but really educational content has been probably for us next to before and after is the number one feedback we get. And engagement is on educational content, creating content that the audience gets to, audience can learn about our trends or materials or our process. We get a ton of questions about our process once we put it on Instagram or Facebook. Any collaborations that you've done, whether that's with other designers, with brands, any influencers, any, just media in general, or if you have gone to a showroom and you want to show some fabulous items on your stories, that's educational content. You could talk over it and say why this quartz slab is so amazing and that it's maintenance free and blah, 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 and non-porous. I don't need to teach you that stuff. You guys already know, but you can do a lot of that as well. You know what people also love is behind the scenes. For whatever reason, people love behind the scenes. Sometimes it's just like basic ripped out demoed spaces, but for whatever reason, people really love those behind the scenes. And it could be behind the scenes in your office. It can be behind the scenes at your desk. You can give a glimpse into the design process and humanize your brand and connect with the audience. All these things people find fascinating, because we only show our curated photos, but why not show what it takes to get to that stage? Interactive content. So you can run polls, you can do quizzes, you can do question and answers. What do people want to see? What do your audience want to see? Ask them. Because the more you can get people to engage, the more the analytics is going to push out and they're going to see that people are liking and commenting on your posts or on your stories. And then that is going to make it that they end up in their feeds more often. And just encourage that participation. So I've always been told by multiple marketers to end your posts with a call to action, meaning ask a question, ask them to comment. Do you like this? Do you like that? And don't be worried that they might not answer. It's somebody will say something, and then you can like that and comment back. And then, like I said, that analytic picks up and they will see your content more often. You can highlight team members if you have a staff or people that you work with. You can showcase and expertise all those designs and those team members that make it happen. The hashtag strategy here is not where I can help you. I just know you're supposed to do it. There's lots of research. There's lots of relevant industry-specific hashtags that'll increase your discoverability. And there are plenty of websites that can offer that to you. The interior design, if you just hashtag interior design, you're not going to gain anything. So I don't know how to use that to your advantage, and I'm not going to pretend to. So I know that there are specific websites out there. Look them up, find something that works for you, and hopefully it doesn't have 17 million followers of that hashtag or you're going to get lost in there. You could also do client spotlights. That's something that you could showcase some completed projects with the testimonials on your social media. You could also, if trendy is your vibe, you could stay trendy, showing trends, keeping an eye on design and social media trends to stay relevant. You can appeal to a more broader audience that way. I tend to stick with our branding and what we, who we market to. I don't need it to be broader, but this depends on who you're trying to appeal to. So you can combine that social media planning, all these marketing tips, to create dynamic online presence that not only promotes your business, but also attracts engagement of your potential clients. So now you're thinking, great, Laura, thanks. Now you've given me something else to do on my long enough to-do list. But let me share with you a shortcut that really helped me. And I can't remember where I saw this or where I heard this, or I wish I could, because I would give kudos to the person that deserves it. But When I wasn't sure of where to start and how to start using Instagram to attract potential clients, I was like, how am I going to come up with content? Like, how am I going to come up with things to talk about Monday through Sunday, like every day of the week, every month? Any hoodle. Let's move on to how I started to do it. So if you're thinking that and you don't think you have photos and you don't think you have things that can fill this, you know, 30 some odd days every month, let me give you a little tip that somewhere along the line I picked up. So I wrote down Monday through Sunday at the top of a paper and created a grid. And then I gave it a theme, I gave a theme to every day of the week. And then, like, let me give you an example. Let's just, for example, Monday is what we're working on. Tuesdays, tricks of the trade. Wednesdays, accessory options. Thursday, let's pick finishes education or selection education. Let's do Fabric Friday. Saturday can be kitchen inspiration. Sunday can be entertaining spaces. And what I did for each, like, I do a month at a time. So sorry to kind of confuse you there. I do a month at a time. And this is not something I'm going to throw out and share with the people who are reading. This was something that gave me tools every month to be able to content plan. So I would give a theme to the Mondays, I would give a theme to the Tuesdays, I would give a theme to the Wednesday. And the reality is not everyone is going to read every single Monday. They're not going to put together that on Mondays, I am doing a post with progress shots or sneak peeks of an ongoing project, or, you know, a caption that says excited to share a glimpse of our latest project in the making, because that's what we're working on. I just used it as a tool to be able to give me content. And then I would find photos that worked along with that, or back then I would create photos. So if I was doing a flat lay or a presentation, I would start taking photos. And then in my feed of my camera, on my phone, I would have all these photos, and then I could go back. They might be from a year ago. God knows we all have enough photos on our, photos on our camera, on our phones. I can't speak English apparently. Oh my goodness. Let me try that again. We all know that our camera feed on our phones has plenty of pictures that we could actually use and crop and, you know, basically try to create a photo or something that would be of interest and fit our color feed. So that's what I started to do. And then it would very quickly, I would fill in those 30, 31, 28 days, depending on the month, that became very easy. So I was breaking it down into smaller bites, smaller weeks, and that's what I would do. And then the next month I could use the same thing, or I could come up with something else so that it gave it form and gave it ease for me to be able to put that together. So I don't know if you want to borrow that or use it, but it was really easy for me to then come up with content. Like, you know, I did do the finishes day. And so then I would pick a finish, whether that would be a quartz countertop. And I would explain all the pros and the cons of selecting quartz and why it is a most popular selection right now with our clients. And then, you know, the next week I might do linen fabric and why we love linen, because it drapes for drapery. So while you're educating your potential clients and showing off things that you do within your business, it also is filling your feed. So the photo could just be a photo of any room that you've done that has drapery in it. And then you could use that same photo every month and pick something else out of it. The reality is no one's going through every single day and reading it on purpose unless they're looking to work with you. And if you have different angles of the same room, you can use all those angles to your advantage and just select a different finish in there. You know, you don't have to go into detail about what that photo is about. You can pick a selection out of it. Or if there's a leather element in that space, talk about leather and how durable it is and all the pros and cons about leather. But you can use these dates and days as a tool. So that's what I did when I first started and I didn't really know what to do for themes or how I wanted to educate potential clients. And so hopefully that's something that you might find is helpful for you. And then you just plug them into those scheduling tool programs that we discussed earlier. And, like, you know, this is where your analytics will become key. So if you do engage in one of those programs that we talked about, like, again, I use Planoly, I can go back and now look at my analytics for the last month and I can see which one of those posts really resonated, which one had the most likes, which ones people stayed on longer. It gives you all kinds of knowledge and insight into the content that you're putting out. And in addition to that, if you have a business account on, let's say, Instagram, you can go in and look at the analytics there too. It'll show you how many people saved your photo, how many people forwarded your photo. It'll show how many people commented. It shows you where, demographics, age. There's so much information. Because if you're at one point, I don't know how, but I had a massive amount of people in England that were liking and looking at my Instagram, which is lovely, of course. That's nice that you really like my work and that you're liking it and forwarding it. But I'm not going to get a client from England more than likely. So, I mean, at least you can see where it's hitting. If it's hitting in your demographic and it's hitting in your geographic, I think I need to drink my coffee this morning. In your area, geographic area, then you know you're hitting the mark and you know you're hitting the right areas because you're seeing that that's where people are engaging with you. So use those analytics to then push out further information that is staying in line with what's working. Now, the next thing that was a struggle for me was the copywriting and coming up with all of the verbiage and what to write and how to write it. And now we have the beauty of ChatGPT. I don't think it's the save all of end all, but I do think it can definitely help generate engaging captions or give you post ideas. You can type in that, you know, for 2 weeks or I need 14 days worth of captions on educating my client on this type of product or this finish or this countertop or this type of fabric. So, you know, you can use that to your advantage. And then I absolutely would tell you to go in and finesse it with your own verbiage so it sounds like you and feels like you. And when a client gets to know you, they don't feel like there's a disconnect there, but it definitely will help save you some time. So it will create efficiency there when you're doing it in batches. And like I said, maintain your brand voice. So here is the biggest thing that I discussed with multiple people about marketing. And these were from the experts. It's not from me, although I have noticed it. So don't take offense. I really, truly believe you need to maintain a professional feed. Really and truly think about what you're putting out in the world and what you want a potential client to see and what you think resonates with your ideal client. I'm trying to really not, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I don't want to be insensitive. But again, we are a luxury service because somebody is coming to you for your opinion and your design and your aesthetic, and they are coming to spend a lot of money with you. And you definitely want your feed to reflect that they are spending the money with the right person. So if you are wanting to celebrate Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Sundays, and you're cheersing and dancing on tables and drinks in your hand, maybe you don't want to put that on your business account. Maybe that should be in a private, separate, personal account. I have zero connection with my personal account. It's not even in my name. I don't even think a client could find it. If they tried, if they did, I will not allow them to follow me. My private life is very separate from my work life. Now, they're very connected. I'm not doing anything that I would not be proud of Monday through Friday. I just don't think it's something that if I don't choose to share with my clients, then it's not something that should be out in the world. I think sometimes it's too much information. And I also feel like if it's not curated down a rabbit hole, as we all know we do, who's this person? Who's that person? The next thing you know, you can't control the narrative. You can't control the judgment. So if you want to make sure that your client thinks nothing but the most professional level that you want to be seen at, then that is what your social media feed needs to also have as content. So ensure that that feed aligns with your brand aesthetic and your values that you're putting out, because that is where there's a massive disconnect. And as much as it'd be nice that people don't judge, let's not try and fool ourselves. They're about to spend a lot of money with you. 100% they're judging. And again, quality over quantity. If you don't think you want to put out every single day, then try every other day and see how that reads. And if that's still too much, maybe 3 times a week, but you have to start getting into the habit of doing it, and you have to get into the habit of getting to do it so that you're part of the algorithm. And I also want to share, like, I am not someone who had my face out anywhere to do with my business. After 20 something years, I've been doing this 27 years. And it's only been in the last 4 to 5 years you could find a photo of me with my name and my business. There was an issue in my past with somebody who used to follow me and do some creepy things. And I was very uneasy about having my face and things out there, only from that experience, not because they're still doing that. But, and so I worked really hard not to have that connection. And little did I realize that social media was going to become, and branding was going to become, so intertwined that my business would need to have that. And so it's only very recently, and I have to be honest, the posts that have photos of our team and doing things and simple everyday tasks are bar none the most popular, liked, interacted with, And that's not just family and friends. That is people we don't know. So there is a true connection with getting your face out there and people have a face with who they're going to be working with. It resonates. And so after all that work, then stories came along and I was told by our marketing people, you have to put your face on stories. And I didn't want to do that either. And here I am talking to you guys every week, but it wasn't something that I was super thrilled about. And I did it. And we did it in a way that we do a coffee chat live every Monday. People send questions in and then we answer them. And it literally takes less than 10 minutes. And it used to be something that we recorded and put on there. And then we did live and we tried that too at a certain time, and the certain time just wasn't working. And then it just became, I'll just do it when I get to work. But I get to work at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning some days, and I just do it and it's out there, and then it's out there for 24 hours and it'll go away. Now, as soon as we started doing it, not only did it bring more business our way, we actually have a quantified number of people who, past clients who maybe didn't do a couple of items that they just thought, we'll do that later. And then they never called us back to do it. Well, guess what? They did call us back. So not only did I get my face out there and part of that algorithm and got feedback from potential new clients, we also made sales from past clients who said, well, you know what, Laura, you talked about the area rugs and the carpet runners and we didn't do it 3 years ago. And now the kids are older and the dog died. So let's do it. And you're like, what? And there's a $20,000 sale. So I'm telling you, it pays off. Give it a try. See what happens. Worst case scenario is you don't know if it actually is working, but you can watch your analytics go up. So maintaining the professional feed, trying to get confident in putting your face out there, whether it's in photos or whether it's in story, quality over quantity, and get engaging with your audience, because that's really how they'll get to know you better than taking a picture of the food that you're eating at the restaurant or your cat or your dog or whatever it is. Engage with the audience with things that are direct messages to them, that they get to start feeling like they have an idea of who you are, looking at your work and your personality. So I hope that helps. I hope you don't feel like it's super judgy. It's not. It's just, I think that there is a blurred line of where we stop with our professionalism. And sometimes we just need to take a check and be like, right, is this really what I want potential clients seeing? Or should I put this in a separate account? So this whole episode is to help you gain eyes. There's been so much talk about recession this and recession that, but yet, you know, our businesses tend to be with people who have more tangible cash, and they might hold back a little bit right now, just while the buzzwords are out in the news. But let's hope that we do see a surge again in this springtime. The sun comes out and people start, the bills from Christmas are gone and they start making the calls again. And in the meantime, you're still targeting future clients by not letting any of that social media slide. So maybe run through the pros and cons and what you see on your feed and where you can strengthen. But knowing your demographics and your audience that you want to hit, make sure that you're using those metrics and using all of the information that would be part of at your fingertips from the items that you've put out, that you're using it to your advantage to try and gear whatever your content is towards people who will reach out and make that consultation call with you, or do your fee to come and have a 2-hour consultation or a discovery call, whatever your first step is. Maybe that's your first month of content. Every other day, throw in, like, make sure you call us for your 15-minute discovery call. We can discuss that future project with you. Just get people engaging and get your information out there. Don't wait until it's a downturn and hope that that's when it starts to come in. Just stay consistent. So we're going to keep using this as a tool this year on the podcast, and we're going to keep trying to get more people in to give us more insight and not just trends, but give us like content shelf life information that we can keep using on this topic, because goodness knows that this is a full-time job for somebody at a much bigger business than probably our small businesses. But it is a lot of work. It is a big thing to do. And if there's any ways that can save you time and be efficient, I will try and find them for you. So I hope that helps. I hope you have a good week, and I will talk to you next week. Bye for now. Keep designing.